For today's public reading of God's Word, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2 this morning. I'm just going to read the first 7 verses, and I hope and pray that those of you who have received these little vignettes from the book of Luke, that you are listening to them, and hopefully you're paying attention to them, as well as trying to answer the questions that are given based upon the reading. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Please be seated, and for those of you that are going to pay attention, please follow along. Look at verse 1. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a prophecy made, or a prediction, that the Messiah, the Christ, or the Savior of the world, was going to be born in the city of Bethlehem of Ephrathah. It would be like me saying the city of Topeka in the county of Shawnee, or Shawnee County. Because at this time, there were two Bethlehems. There were two cities that had the same name. The other Bethlehem was located elsewhere. But notice how in the Bible, God gets very specific and says, Bethlehem, Ephrathah. In Micah chapter 5, verses 2 in the Old Testament, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, where the Messiah, where the Savior would be born. And here we see that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem, but there was a slight problem. Mary and Joseph lived in the city of Nazareth, which was 90 miles to the north of Bethlehem. So how in the world is this prophecy going to be fulfilled? How are we going to get Mary and Joseph, who were comfortably living together in their own little village in Nazareth, how are we going to move Mary and Joseph 90 miles to the south just in order to fulfill the prediction of what city the Savior would be born? Well, look at verse 1. God used Caesar Augustus to make it happen. At this time, Caesar Augustus was the ruling emperor at this time. He was the nephew of Julius Caesar. Okay? Julius Caesar adopted Caesar Augustus, brought him into his family, and so when Julius Caesar was ultimately assassinated in the year 44 BC, Caesar Augustus, his real name was Octavian, but then he became Caesar Augustus eventually. And so this particular Caesar, he wants to tax the world. So notice how the government likes to tax you and I. But notice it says, tax the world. And there are those who have the false notion that the word world here means everybody on the globe. North America, Central America, South America, Australia, Africa, Europe, and Asia. Not so. Because the Greek word that is translated world here is the Greek word oikomene. And it simply means the known inhabited world. Some older Bibles in the margin will actually have the word off to the side, Roman Empire. And that's exactly what it means. So this taxation did not include all the continents on the globe, but only affected those living under the heel of the Roman Empire. Okay, verse 3, all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. Well, Nazareth was not the original city of Joseph because he was a descendant of King David. We got to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. Well, again, how are we going to do that? It's 90 miles away, and they didn't take a plane, they didn't take a bus, they didn't take a train. Beloved, they had to walk. Probably Mary was on an animal, maybe a donkey or a mule or whatever, or maybe in a horse-drawn cart. We don't know, but we got to get them 90 miles to the south. And so Joseph went up from Galilee, verses 4, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea. So he's heading to the south, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Because he, David, was of the house and lineage of David. Here's another prophecy that was made about the Savior. Not only was he to be born in Bethlehem, Ephratah, this Bethlehem, but he was to be a direct descendant from King David of the Old Testament. And lo and behold, when you check the genealogies that are found in Matthew chapter 1 and in Luke chapter 4, you will find out that Joseph qualifies as a descendant, a blood descendant of King David. And so Joseph was of royalty. He was of royal blood. He was of royal birth. Notice verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So she was nearly full term. And it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, beloved, several things I got to mention in verse 7. Number one, Jesus is called Mary's firstborn. It doesn't say her only born. And that's a big difference. Because Roman Catholics teach that Mary remained a virgin even after giving birth to Jesus. And that is a physical impossibility, physically speaking, scientifically speaking. We know that Jesus had four half-brothers and at least two half-sisters, meaning that after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph had a regular married life that brought forth at least six more children into the world. And therefore, Jesus would have been the older brother of the entire siblings to that family. And the other misconception was this, no room for them in the inn. Many people look at the word inn and they automatically think of a hotel or a motel here in town where the sign says no vacancies. The Greek word that is used here actually refers to a guest room that many Jewish homes had, okay, to accommodate a visiting family member. The Jews were a very hospitable people. Nobody was left in the streets, especially if they were your kin or your family. So apparently, Joseph had family members living here in Bethlehem. Again, this was his town. This is where his roots can be traced, all the way back to Bethlehem, as a member of David's royal family. So there were family members, there was relationships in Bethlehem that could have put Mary and Joseph up out of the elements, okay, and in a warm bed. Unfortunately, the guest room in one of these homes was already full. And when it says that he was laid in a manger, you have to picture these homes had another room where the animals would be brought in at night or during the cold season, not only to keep them out of the elements, but guess what? The cattle and the donkey and the sheep would provide heat for those living in the house. And the manger here is referring basically to the feeding trough that the animals would use to eat out of. That's what it means, a manger. So when you see people at Christmas time with Mary and Joseph huddled in a cave, that's false. You see Mary and Joseph in some type of a wooden structure out there in the wilderness or out there in the suburbs or in the boonies, that's false. Mary and Joseph were in a house of a relationship to Joseph, but the guest room was not empty, it was full. So therefore, Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus, or the infant Jesus, slept in the room where the animals were brought in from the outside inside, and Jesus was laid in a feeding trough. That's what it means when it says they laid him in a manger. Well, may God's word be praised.